Reading from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhyalila 21, text 18. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Mushi Mora Dasa Ara Granta Bhagavate Yara Beda Achitara Nasha Balamate. Anyone who discriminates between me, my servant, and the book Bhagavatam is certainly destroyed. Omagana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya. Taksur Unmalatam Ena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayebacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siadvaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from New Jersey. Like everyone else, I am basically hunkered down in one place and making the best of it. In many ways, it's been quite wonderful, actually. You know, when I was young, I didn't read many books. I just wasn't my nature. I definitely wasn't a nerd. But I remember a few books that I read. Animal Farm by George Orwell. The Mouse That Roared. And somehow a book by John Steinbeck, I don't know, the combination is kind of strange, called Of Mice and Men. And in that book, there was a famous saying, the plans of mice and men often go astray. So it's actually a very spiritual thought that no matter who you are, your control is very, very limited. And therefore, when you do make plans, which we should organize our lives to facilitate our objectives, we have to have in the back of our minds that we're not the controller and make that part of our plan. To actually, especially in Krishna consciousness, have the right consciousness in doing it. I was thinking when we were, maybe with your group, we were doing the 10th canto with Kamsa when he was told by either Krura or Vasudev, Krishna's father, that actually that eighth child is Krishna in Vrindavan. And then, you know, he sent Keishi Demon immediately to kill him. And then he had the plan that became to be the great elephants, Kuvalyapida, to kill him. And if they're Chamur and Mishtika, and if that didn't work, then I will kill Krishna. And then, and when I kill Krishna, his relatives be so shocked that I'll take it. It's a limit. It's a limit to your plans. So I think I had a good plan for my stay here and for my class. My plan here would be, was Niyama Seva. The same thing every day to build up spiritual strength. Actually, basically, it was my plan for the rest of my life. And the plan for the class is, after being up for so many hours chanting, coming to the class with that kind of conviction and potency, and then through the teachings kind of communicate and share that, because that's what Sadhu Sangha means. Sadhu Sangha means there's loving exchanges between devotees, and that you share their hearts. You share hearts. Especially we want to share hearts, open our hearts to good teachings. But the best laid plans of mice and men often go astray. And then somehow or other, something hit me. I think I'm recovering. It seems to be getting better. Not completely yet, but a little bit getting better. And I don't feel I approach the class with the same amount of shakti. But what I will do is kind of try to give the class off to a good start, is to start just to tell you about my thinking. And I think it's in relationships, because Monday morning greetings, it takes a lot of concentration sometimes to crack the quote, to conceptualize and express. This is what writing is. So as difficult as expressing something is conceptualizing it. Because when you put it down to writing, it has to be crystal clear. And I think that's been the success of it. And because it's my service, I make sure, and sometimes it's not easy. And it takes a lot of clear thought sometimes. First to conceptualize the idea, and then to express it so that what you conceptualize can be experienced by others. So somehow I've been still able to write the Monday morning greetings. And therefore, almost like I got the feeling that Krishna must be writing these, because I'm not in a condition to have that kind of concentration. But what do I write about when it starts on Monday morning? I got to write. I have to have an idea, and I don't have much choice. So it's whatever's in my head. So what was in my head is being a little bit sick, which is not my general constitution, and to accept everything as Krishna's grace, be equal in happiness and distress. What a wonderful way to practice. You know, don't be distressed, you're sick. Don't be happy, you're healthy. It's just another way in which the Krishna is moving the world around you to serve. But naturally, I began to think what I can learn from this. Seeing that I really want my service to be a development of inner life. So what can I learn from this, from inner life? And I there's many things, but one thing that I thought is this, is we have to make effort. We have to make effort. We have to regulate our lives. We have to make effort to organize it, to concentrate. We have to be disciplined. And I did that. But I saw something very, very subtle that Krishna wants me to work on and develop. When you do that and make your effort, and you have to make your effort, whatever endeavor you do, the tendency is to think that you are the cause independent of Krishna. That you are the producer of Krishna's mercy. And that develops a kind of, it's all subtle, kind of mechanical effort. The doership, control. Because that's the basic material concept. The basic material concept is enjoy, control and enjoy, or enjoy and control, because to enjoy, you have to control. So the subtlety in spiritual endeavor and spiritual practice is to make that endeavor, but keeping at the forefront the dependence on Krishna's mercy. Knowing that you can never independently achieve anything. That it's always beyond our own effort, especially when you talk about Krishna's mercy. Because when you talk about getting God, when you talk about achieving God, it's always beyond what we can earn. So that's what I was writing. And I found, of course, the best reference is Narada Muni, who tried and tried and tried and tried. And then I had a quote from, that confirmed what I was thinking with Narada Muni, the sincere endeavor completely dependent on Krishna's mercy. Then there was another point that I really thought was important. Because I'm healthy and energetic constitutionally, I know what it means to have all the chakras open and full prana, because that's basically my constitution. That pain is important for empathy, because atmavan manyate jagat. We see the world atmavan as we have it. We see through our lens. So I also saw that a little discomfort, a little pain, even in my article, it's probably nothing, but I'm just not used to it. And so that point of empathy, that's another important thing I have to keep in mind in terms of inner life, is empathy. And pain is very good, because then you realize what people in this world go through. So I thought to connect with you today, just to first share my realizations and then see if we can enter into the Chaitanya Bhagavat together. And we're in a very beautiful section, and the fullest manifestation of God is defined in relationship to his devotees. Our fullest manifestation is defined in relationship to our, in terms of our relationships. There are ladies out there that are mothers. There's ladies out there that are wives. There's men that are fathers. There are men that are husbands. There are people there that are friends of other people. There are people that are my students. There are people that are teachers of other people. So that's really who we are. So who we are is dependent, is defined by others. So similarly, who God is actually defined by others. He is, who he is his love, his personality. And therefore, Krishna is considered the highest manifestation of God, because he has this quality of revealing his love, not just his position. Generally, we think of God just in terms of his position and his love in relationship to us as master, which is a very limited definition of a person. But Krishna is prema madhurya. He has the sweetness of a variety of relationships. And lila madhurya. And in those relationships, there's such a variety of wonderful activities. And rupa madhurya, in the giving of himself fully, he has a special type of beauty. And of course, this one's a little bit more tricky. Venu madhurya. He plays his flute, means that he expresses his heart openly and his love. I was just reading that in the Bhagavatam. So Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's enjoying his pastimes, and that's what we've been studying. God defined in relationship to others, which shows his inner love and his inner self, and invites us to have a relationship with God. So he's with his devotees, and we can also just sing that song just to get us in the mood. Udilo Aruna Pura Babhagi Dvijamani Gora Amani Jagi Pakata Samuhaloya Sati Kela Nagara Raja Tatai Tatai Bajalako. So he's traveling around, wandering the streets of Navadvip, sharing the holy name and enlightening us. And you know, when I'm thinking of that image, I have to share with you something I'm thinking. When I'm thinking of that image and remembering 20 years ago where I joined the Parikram in Navadvip, where we camp out and go to the nine islands, I'm walking through the town and the village, and how much beauty has been lost in modern civilization by the destruction of family and community. When I grew up, in Brooklyn, when I was six, I moved to Canarsie. My first 6 years were in Bensonhurst, a very famous place, but this is an international crowd, so you won't know all the glories of the honeymooners. But, or of Murder Incorporated. I moved to a place called Canarsie, which was famous for Murder Incorporated. But we had a block, and you know, by that time my parents could buy their own house. America at that time was a very wealthy country. They didn't have so many gadgets to spend their money on. People bought houses, and there were 12 houses on our block, 24 houses, 12 on each side. We knew every single person on the block. We knew every single person on the block. So I'm just lamenting and how absolutely screwed up the world has become. Screwed up. There are problems and the solution is destruction. That's the world. There are different systemic problems that have to be rectified. The solution is destruction. Those are the two options that we're being presented with in the modern world. It's just nice to hear the CC. And then in this particular pastime, there's a pandit called Devananda Pandit. And I love that description, moksha abhilas. This is his only weakness, because other than that, he's parama sasant. He's a supremely peaceful, intelligent, austere. And the quality I like more than any other quality in the modern world, neutral. Not ideological, neutral, objective. He studies Shastra. So he has all good qualities except moksha abhilas, a desire for liberation and a conception for liberation that destroys in concept the eternality of the soul. Natvevaham jatunasam natvam neme janadipa nasarvanabhavishya sarvya. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you know all the kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. This is the predominant conception in Indian thought. If you study all different Indian philosophies and schools of thought, which are basically divided into six, the eternal individuality of the soul is the accepted majority, accepted conception. But somehow or other, this other conception called Advaita Vedant, the conception that individuality is an illusion, and in liberation, you will realize that there are no individual characteristics. There's only an amorphous mass, and you are that amorphous mass, some kind of conception that is. Anyway, so Lord Chaitanya is going and he's wandering. And sometimes he doesn't know where he's going. It's like Narada Muni when he went into Dwarka, which was so, the pathings, and it was like a labyrinth. But somehow he wound up in the right place. Sometimes bhakti is like that. Sometime when there's such deep devotion in the heart, somehow Krishna carries you to the right place. So he's somehow wandering and he passed by this Devananda Pandit, who's this famous Bhagavatam speaker, and he says, this person is respected, but he's devoid of devotion. And therefore, he doesn't know the conclusion of the Bhagavatam. And he's in this condition because it's likely he committed an offense. He doesn't have access. Sometimes you need a preliminary conception of something to perceive it. That's called a frame of reference. A teacher is very, very attuned to what is that person's frame of reference. Because if you want to show them something, if they don't have a preliminary idea of what it is, they may miss it. And that's the whole idea why you have to have faith in Guru and Krishna. You have to experience the freedom from the false conception of the self, that I am the center, to actually see that the whole Vedic literature is about removing that conception. But if you yourself were within that conception, because you're not surrendered to Guru and Krishna, you somehow won't see that. And we see it all the time with scholarly people, except they miss the simple beauty of what the Bhagavatam is, which is the love of Krishna and his devotees. They will miss that. They won't see that. That's the beauty of having a teacher. The beauty of Abba Teacher, he says, here, just step over here, looking this way. You see it? Oh, yeah, now I see it. It's sometimes people try to point out to, oh, there's a bird in the tree, or there's an animal over there. Sometimes in Vrindavan, I'm saying, looking where? And they have to put me in where they're standing for me to see. So there's this preliminary understanding. It's the Bhagavatam is about surrender to Guru and Krishna. But if we don't like that idea, we will not see it, even though it's presented on every page. So he says, devoid of devotion, he won't. And then he gets very angry and he starts to preach the Bhagavatam. And anger is a very interesting thing. It can be born. Generally, anger is born at Jayato Vishyam Pumsa, Sango Sanjayate, Kama. When your desires are frustrated, you become angry and bewildered. So anger generally comes from the false ego. But there's another platform where anger can come, and that can come out of love. Not the false ego, out of love. I love God. I love the devotees, and this person is insulting them. So it's not born at getting anything for yourself, which is the root of all material consciousness. It's born out of your attraction and love for God and for Guru and devotees. So he gets angry, Lord Chaitanya, but it's very spiritual. And then he begins to explain that this is not just a book. It's not ink and paper. It's God. The message is God. And anyone who studies the Srimad Bhagavatam will experience it. It's not just theoretical. It's experiential. When you actually study the Bhagavatam, there's a reciprocation with the message. Therefore, people who have been devotees for many years, if they studied again and again and again and again, every time they study, there will be something new. And sometimes it's something very, very personal. Because the book can talk to you. In fact, it's the way God does talk to us. And it's why. Because the book has this personal conception. It's why it can only be understood, and God can only be understood by devotional service. If you try to understand the person just analytically, how much will you know about that person? If you serve the person and the person gives their heart to you, how much more you will know about the person? So if God is a person and the book is a person, it is understood when the person gives themselves to you in relationship. So Lord Chaitanya wants to make this point. This is a section that's actually glorifying the Bhagavatam and how important it is and what it is. And then Lord Chaitanya explains a very important point that the Vedas describe Purushartha. Artha means the goal of people. What is the Purushartha? Purusha, Artha. The Artha or the goal of people. And generally, it talks just about the four goals. What is the goal? Well, you should live religiously, otherwise your life will be a mess. And living in that way properly, you'll be able to accrue artha, what you need. And if you accrue what you need, then there'll be kama, there'll be sense gratification. And then when you have dharma, artha, and kama, when you have a religious life and economic development and sense gratification, moksha. You can fully realize that that's not the goal. That doesn't that's not ultimate satisfaction. And that the material condition is one that you have to get out. But there's Panchapurushartha, there's a fifth goal. The fifth goal is prema or love. So Lord Chaitanya explains that this is what the Bhagavatam's about. It's about the Panchapurushartha. I'm looking at Dharma, Artha, and Kama. Because somehow or other, I have this room on the bottom floor, which has can understand what I mean. Can you still hear me?
Mine is going in and out, Maharaj.
Yeah, mine as well.
Same here.
It says the host has unmuted me. Rati, are you there?
Yep, we can hear you, Maharaj.
You can hear me now. Okay. Yep. I don't know. Maybe because I was getting off on a tangent that Krishna shut me up. But I just wanted to say there's four people on the line that would realize I have kind of a George Burns view. So Dharma, Artha, Karma, when I'm saying that, religion, economic development, there's just these Orthodox Jewish families that I see out my window right now. You know, who you know, the men I see, they go to their religious things and whatever happens. And they all have nice houses. They have a lot of kids. But Panchapurushartha, the ultimate goal is prema. So that's the Bhagavatam. And now today's verse, I think we did it before, but I still have half the class to go up. And here it says anyone, and then, yeah, then it says, one more thing it says, and the Vedas are like yogurt and the Bhagavatam is like butter. So when you churn yogurt, you get the sutta, and the devotee is sutta-grahi, he goes for the essence. Of all the Vedas, I am to be known. So when you churn the Vedas and the impurities of karma and jnana are taken out, the impurities of karma and jnana are taken out, you're left with just this prema. And that's the Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya, his mission was to give the Bhagavatam. Dharma projita kaita votra paramo namatsaranam satam. It's for people who are not envious, have no hate. Their goal is not to be superior to others. Their goal is to serve others. And that's what you'll get from this book. You'll get service and love and devotion. And it will convince you that this is the highest value. Prema Pumartha Mahan. The greatest artha is the consciousness of the heart that has this love. And that's what you'll get here. And then Lord Chaitanya says here, and this, anyone who discriminates against me and my servant in the book is destroyed. And what does it mean, discriminate against me? Discriminates between me and my devotees in the book. One who discriminates against me means discriminates between me. Excuse me. One who discriminates between me means that you think that these other things are not eternal. Again, the Advaita Vedanta. if you discriminate that that's all illusion and this is real, only the absolute reality undifferentiated is real, and therefore you don't take seriously Krishna's pastimes and the book which is presenting Krishna's pastimes, and you discriminate and think that only God is eternal and all these other things are temporary. So Lord Chaitanya makes the point. Now we'll go over and we'll learn more verses today. In anger, the Lord narrated the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Vaishnavas floated in an ocean of bliss as they listened. One of my favorite verses, Vayam Natu Vitriptatma Uttama Shloka Vartate Yatrinvatam Rasagyanam Swadu, swadu, pade. Vayam natu, we never become tired. Vayam natu, uttama shloka vartate, of uttama shloka, the verses about Krishna. Yatrinvatam, and when you listen to this about love, swadu, swadu, pade, at every step you become satisfied. So the devotees are listening to it. They're not only listening to it, and it's coming from Lord Chaitanya, it's carrying his conviction. So when they hear that, they're also feeling that conviction. The love is actually transferred into their hearts. They're having the same experience as the devotees in Krishna's pastimes. That love is being described, and they're feeling the same love. And Lord Chaitanya is doing it with a little anger out of love to counteract this impersonal conception. Regarding one who explains Bhagavatam without referring to devotional service, the Lord says, the rascal doesn't know a thing. So obviously this was Lord Chaitanya's mission because this was going on. At various times, and anyone who's worked with any spiritual mission can tell you, there are different challenges to the core beliefs that are at the foundation of a particular bona fide spiritual mission. And what the acharya is, he has to oppose those. I remember once, I used to have this academic conference every year called the Sherborne Gathering. And there were different presentations. And one person made a presentation, and it seemed like a little critical of Prabhupada because he didn't like that Prabhupada was saying rascal scientist, rascal scientist, rascal scientist. And it's so interesting, you know, and Pradyumna would come. And Pradyumna was Prabhupada's Sanskrit pundit. And he's a quite broad, very broad-minded person. You can't say he's an orthodox Hare Krishna by any means. But whenever someone would challenge Prabhupada, he would become like fire. So when this person was saying, you know, criticizing Prabhupada for being so strong, you know, on a particular point where Prabhupada was saying rascal scientist, right, in a very harsh language, Pradyumna stood up and he said, you don't understand. And then he started quoting from the Bhagavatam that when the acharya sits on the seat, this is in the first canto, he has to sit in opposition to all other views challenging the Siddhanta or conclusion. And then he labeled what the person was saying in terms of one of the six darshans. He said, that's Vaisheshika. Prabhupada was opposing Vaisheshika. And then he started explaining what Vaisheshika philosophy means. So the Lord's angry. He's explaining it. He said, that rascal doesn't know a thing. This fellow never mentions devotional service in explanations. Watch how I tear up his book today. Now, This is very, very interesting. I'll read Bhakti Siddhanta's commentary. There is no need for a Bhagavatam that inspires non-devotional topics in the hearts of his readers and is filled with the cheating propensity. Therefore, I will not accept such a Bhagavatam as the form of the Supreme Lord. I will consider it a product of matter, and I will tear it up with the understanding that it's fit to be destroyed by Rudra, Lord Shiva. In anger, the Lord went to tear up the book, but the Vaishnavas all held him back. So it was being misrepresented, and Lord Chaitanya became very, very angry. Again, anger from a platform of love, not the modes of nature. And as I was thinking, there are certain things that Lord Chaitanya is going to want to do that his disciples stop him. So the question comes, is that proper or not? Because he's the acharya, he's the guru. Shouldn't they just say, well, here's the book, rip it up? Or later he passes a place where they're drinking wine, and within Lord Chaitanya are all the incarnations according to our Siddhanta, so he starts to remember the pastime of Balaram drinking Varuni, which is a type of honey wine or something. And he's going to go into the shop, and Srinivas was just so insistent. And it reminded me of a particular pastime of Srila Prabhupada. And that pastime of Prabhupada, I think I was there at the time. I may even heard it. Sometimes it's hard to remember what you read in a book and what you heard. But I was definitely there at the time. At the end of, and this is very, very significant. I may go off into a little tangent because it's such a significant point. About a week before Prabhupada was to leave this world, he just said, I want to go to Govardhan. I want to go to Govardhan. Take me to Govardhan. I want to go to Govardhan. And then I remember two senior Vaishnavas, Lokanath Swami and Trivikram Swami, they went out to get a bullock cart. And then Prabhupada had an Ayurvedic doctor, and he told Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Bhakti True Maharaj, Bhakti True Maharaj, I heard he's ill. We'll all offer our prayers. He's such a Parama Supreme Vaishnava. I have such wonderful exchanges with him. So they said that this is like suicide, because a bullock cart on those roads, and Prabhupada's, there was no fat between Prabhupada had eaten in 6 months. There was no fat between his bones and his nerves. So what? You know, so I remember there was an argument between two of the devotees. Some devotees said, Prabhupada, we won't let you go. And other ones say it's the order of the spiritual master. So, you know, what is right? And somehow the devotees who prevented Prabhupada from going won out. And it was, he just never would have made it. It was his sentiment, but he couldn't possibly survive. So it came from a deep platform of love. That's called spontaneous devotional service, where your actions are not just born from directions and rules, they're born from the heart. And I think that even though Prabhupada had that sentiment, it would have finished him right there. But there's another point in that that I think is significant. And a point that I kind of came up with myself, but I'd like to share it here, is in the story of Putana. You know, Putana was a witch, but she was took the form of a beautiful nurse. When Krishna sucked out her breast and sucked out her life air, she started to assume her real form. And in the commentaries, the commentators say that psychologically, a person who is near death, tends more to reveal their heart and not hide anything. And I've had even experience where disciples or other tell me maybe they'd have a good relationship with their parents or something, you know, but at the end, something comes out that the person will say that they'll never say. So I thought like this, and I'm just put it out there, is that one thing that Prabhupada could not reveal to his disciples was his eternal relationship with Krishna. And if you know anything about the modern world, you know anything about the sentimentality of the modern world, the lack of frame of reference people have, the nature of sahajiism, the people to take things cheaply. If Prabhupada ever revealed directly and overtly his eternal position, it, at this particular point, it would be disaster. Prabhupada said, I'm a gopi. You can imagine this sahajism, the cheapness of it, and everybody. Anyway, for certain reasons, Prabhupada didn't reveal and didn't really reveal his internal heart that overtly. But I think at the end, it came out in that desire. It's such an intimate desire. Take me to Govardhan. Take me to Govardhan. It's such an intimate desire. Anyway, the Vaishnavas held him back. All the scriptures glorify Srimad Bhagavatam as the most sublime literature, yet this cannot be understood through education, austerity, or fame. You cannot know a person by power. You can only know a person by love. Education, austerity, and fame are accoutrements of power and control. Even in ordinary relationships, we have these horrible examples in America where these three girls were kidnapped for 10 years or something. And this horrible person chained them up in the basement. But he never knew them. Because you can't know someone by power. You can only know someone by love. So this most sublime literature is known by one who serves the literature and serves the mission. One who thinks, I understand Srimad Bhagavatam, does not actually know the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is a very interesting point, because once you say, I understand, it's a declaration that my power is enough to control God, because the Bhagavatam is God. I understand. I know. It's always what we know is limited because God is unlimited. That's why one of the favorable qualities of bhakti is utsaha nistayat dharyat. Patience. Because it's such a high thing to know God. And therefore we can never think that I earned God. I can earn God. We never think I can earn God. We never think I can understand. And that concept of I understand, it almost makes God a subject. It's like I can put it under the microscope. It's the revelatory nature of God. One who accepts Srimad Bhagavatam as the inconceivable Supreme Lord knows that pure devotional service is the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam. The purport is so simple, but it's so difficult. Pure devotional service, no selfishness in our heart. Complete surrender, complete mood of service. It's so simple, but as Prabhupada said, the process is simple, the application is difficult. Because it's not a material qualification. The material qualification is simple. The spiritual qualification is the false ego. I know in any of my spiritual practices, if I become serious in my chanting, I'll come to a point where Krishna will just say, well, you want to go deeper, you have to surrender. And then I'll start thinking of all the things that Krishna could ask me to do that I don't want. And think of all the things that I would have to accept that I don't want. Of course, Krishna is not going to torture us. He'll give us what he needs. He'll take what we don't, etc. But our attachments are so deep. So you want to go deeper, you have to open your heart in that way. Devananda Pandit was filled with all good qualities. Such an educated person is very rare. Yet Yamaraj punishes one who glorifies reciters who have misunderstood the Bhagavatam. One who reads Srimad Bhagavatam and blasphemes Advaita Nityananda, the refuge of the universe, loses his sense of discrimination. In this way, Lord Vishrambar daily wandered throughout the city in the company of his followers. And then there'll be another exchange about Devananda Pandit, but he always throws in this thing about Lord Nityananda. You can just see when someone's writing, he's dealing with the issues at hand of the day. And I guess this must have been a big issue of, is Nityananda bona fide or not? Because he's an avadut. Socially, he doesn't act in the proper way. Okay, anybody like to have any, share any reflections?
Yes, Maharaj. This is Henry.
Henry, how are you? Good to see you.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. You know, I just love it when you brought up the Navadvip Parikram, because, yesterday I was reading about Bhaktivinod Thakur. I spent the whole day reading about it because it was his disappearance day. And, well, not the whole day, but some time. And one of the things when he discovered the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, you know, first he went there and there were many tulsi leaves growing, tulsi plants, and he thought that was the place. But then he had to go get the really old 120-year-old devotee to come in the basket and jumped out of the basket. And he knew that was the place, you know. And what his vision was, Parikrama, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was talking about his vision with people from all over the world coming and doing parikrama in this place. You know, that was, and it made me think of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who I met him when he came back from that 20 years ago from that first parikrama, you know, and he was telling me it was the most amazing event of his Krishna consciousness practically, and how he was glorifying. And gee, these must have been incredible, incredible times to be there and do that.
I'll tell you a story. I'm kind of the guy behind everything, Henry, and I'll tell you a story. Most of my godbrothers, you know, my friends, Bhuri John, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and they were all GBC men, right? And I wasn't a GBC man, but I would live in Tamal Krishna Maharaj's apartment in Mayapur. He would allow me to live in his apartment. So he'd be going to meetings all day, and I'd be going out on the parikram. And then I would come back in this state of ecstasy, having visited all these places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and the incredible kirtans, you know, like it was living in Gaur Lila. So he got so annoyed that I was coming back that the following year he changed the GBC meeting so that all the GBC could attend the Navadvip Mandal Parikram. In other words, because he was so annoyed that I was having this ecstasy, and like and I'd come back so enlivened, you know, that because it was at the same time of the GBC meeting, so he arranged that there would be no GBC meeting then that was happening, and that was the next year everybody went. And it was really ecstasy. We were all camping out together and the kirtans. Okay, well, thanks for that, Henry. That's a great memory. Great. Anybody else like to say hello or share something?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Oh, my friends from the good republic of? What's that?
Yeah, I want to say one of the things that I liked, actually, when you said, thank you very much for the lovely class. Like always, it was brilliant. And I like the point that you said about we see the world in the way that we have it. And sometimes it's good a little bit of discomfort that for empty and empty. And pain is very good because you can realize what people are going through. I liked it very much.
Wow. Thank you. That's such a nice point. Thank you so much.
Can I also go ahead. I also like the point that you said that when we regulate our lives, which we should do, but we get to the point that we think that we're the doer and we're the controller, and we should never forget that nothing we can achieve without Krishna's mercy. I love that point.
Very good points. And I pray we are together in Vrindavan soon.
Oh, yeah, that's lovely. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, Rajeshri, yes? Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you very much for a wonderful class and for many, like, really awesome points. One thing stuck with me when you said that that we cannot know a person by power, but we can know only by love. And as when another point which was connected to it, that that we are defined by our relationships with others, and Krishna is defined by the way he loves us. So I thought it was wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's such an interesting
point. Thank you.
We can't know a person by power. Mm. We can only know him with love. Very good. And the other point too. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Hey. My humble obeisances.
Great to see you.
Hi, Bo. Thank you. Thank you for the class. I almost, I couldn't hear you for the first half of the class. So actually, I missed the point, but I will listen to the recording tonight. But thank you anyway. Thank you.
Was that for everyone or just the?
I think me or somebody else. I saw that she wrote a message that she didn't hear you also.
Okay. Thank you. Good.
Thank you anyway. Thank you, Maharaj.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Good morning.
Hey, Brahmatirtha. Great to see you.
Yeah, I really liked your Govardhan point because Govardhan now is what Vrindavan used to be. And Prabhupada's attachment to Govardhan is very deep, and it gives us an opportunity. It gives me, hearing this gives me an opportunity to appreciate the specialty of Govardhan. When I was in India last time, Borjan dragged me out for Govardhan Puja because I would never go out on such a busy day, and we left early. And he pushed me in front right next to Govardhan Hill for the Artik. And for the first time, I actually could experience, yeah, this is Govardhan.
Wow.
So thank you very much.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that day.
You were there. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Now, you know, India has the strictest controls of quarantine.
Yeah.
Knowing the nature of Indians, they have the strictest control.
Yeah, and knowing the nature there, it won't work.
Well, they also have their police where they have latis.
God, well, that's how Bhakti True Swami got it. He stopped in for lunch on just before getting on his flight at somebody's house who apparently had COVID.
Oh my God!
Huh? And then so. Then when he got to America, he started getting symptoms.
How's he now?
There's a report this morning is greater stability and vital signs. So that's an improvement. That's okay, we'll 4 o'clock this morning.
Okay, we'll pray for him. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi,
Bob.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Just want to say hi.
Girma, nice to see you. Great. Thank you so much for coming on.
So wonderful to be here and hear you. Thank you.
Okay. We'll touch base.
Yes.
We'll touch base again maybe next week. Okay.
Definitely. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Kamala Darada.
Okay. Somehow you're seeing me at my peak now.
Yes.
Somehow.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Okay.
Maharaj, I wanted to mention one point at the beginning of the class. You talked about how it's important to make plans, and you know I'm a planner, you know me.
Yeah.
But always, that it's important to have them, but always including the plans, Krishna, because we don't control anything in the end. So thank you so much.
It's such an important point, right? Otherwise you can go crazy. It just drives you nuts.
And also, if we include him, we are making part of our plans at all times.
Right, and part of the plans is Krishna may not go along with it the way we want it.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Haribo.
Likewise.
Okay, anybody else say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Jai Kishori. Haribo.
Haribo.
Good to see you. We'll do another little secret program at your house again.
Okay. That sounds great.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Kota Gopinath here.
Kishori Radha.
Happy Father's Day.
Oh, Haribo. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oi.
Yeah.
Okay. Haribo.
Haribo.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Tiffany.
Tiffany, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Jai Balai and Katie.
Oh, wow. I was just thinking of you that someday I have to get up there.
Yeah, we're missing you, Maharaj. I'm going to write you an email later on today.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? I should come up next month sometime. Kaylee wrote me.
Okay,
that.
We're looking forward to it. Let me know how I can serve you, please.
And by the way, you know that my niece got an apartment up there. You know that.
Oh, I did not know that. That's great.
Yeah, we'll Emily rented an apartment on 513 Warren Street, about five places down from Bodhi Spa.
Okay, great. Okay, awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing her.
And you know she's going to have a child, too.
No, I. Wow.
Why?
That's amazing.
Why should I keep in contact with you both? Maybe reach out.
It's
to her.
Okay.
We'll
reach out to her. Absolutely. We will.
Okay. Hi, Bo.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, great. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that? Anybody else?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Krishna Premi, Hari Bo.
Yeah, so nice to see you again. I want to say one point that impressed me is that you say that if we are not envious and we are always serving others, serving the devotees, then we can get the essence. We can get the love, service, and the devotion. So it reminds me of a similar statement that the most important thing in our bhakti devotional life is one's attitude. So if we have the right attitude, then we can get the knowledge and the realization. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Krishna Premi. And tell Radhatran I should speak to him next week sometime, just to catch up.
Okay. I'll let him know.
Let him know. Okay, thank you. Hari Bo.
Hari Bo.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, Lal Govinda. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Wow, that was... I'm going to reveal to people the secrets. That was mighty good South Indian food yesterday, wasn't it?
You're fully cured, huh?
I was very... Well, I'm cured now, right? I ate very little because I couldn't afford, you know.
This is green beans. But
that's what they said. I said it was green chili. They said it was, no, it wasn't. But I could, okay, Hari Bo.
Hari Bo.
Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, I see Takarani, Hari Bo.
Thank you for the class, Maharaj. It's great.
Thank you. Okay, a few more people.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Sri Gandharika.
Hari Bo. Jai. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Takiko.
Okay, Hari Bo. You always have the best backdrops. I don't know how you do it, but you have the best backdrops.
I'll let you know when I see
it. The secret. Okay. Good. Anybody else?
Krishna Maharaj, Shirupa.
Shirupa, Hari Bo. Good. Okay, anybody else?
Krishna Maharaj, it's Advaita.
Oh, okay. We'll get together this week, okay? You'll let me know. Okay, speak to Kadamba. Good. Anybody else? Okay, we can finish for today. Anybody still around? We can have another class at 11. Okay. All right, well.
Thank you, Maharaj.